Hot, sizzling days are ahead, so now's the time to join me, Skip Mancini, for a special series on the cool aspects of water gardening.
Last week, I discussed the importance of planning and preparation when developing a water garden. This week, we'll move to what most gardeners consider the fun and creative part of the project, deciding what to plant and where to plant it. When making landscaping choices for your new backyard pond, you'll be dealing with three basic categories of plants. Oxygenating plants are usually submerged under the water and are the worker bees of the pond. They provide spawning grounds and oxygen for fish, and they thrive on the same mineral salts as green algae, thus starving out the soupy sludge and helping to keep the water clear. Oxygenators don't have to be set in containers and are typically sold in bunches lacking roots. They'll develop anchorage roots in your pond and are essential for new ponds in order to provide some form of plant life until your larger containerized plants are established. If you want to see an oxygenator in the flesh and foliage, go to a pet shop and look at those long green ropey plants swimming around in the goldfish tanks. Granted, they aren't the most attractive aquatics, but remember that they are functional working plants that are needed for balance in your pond. A more glamorous form of oxygenators can be found in the floating plants that screen sunlight from the water, thus inhibiting unwanted algae growth. Floating plants come in a variety of sizes and textures with wonderful names like duckweed, frogbit, water lettuce, and water hyacinth. Some of them sport beautiful flowers and luxuriant foliage, but beware their rampant growth. They can cover too much of your pond's surface if not kept in check during peak growing seasons. The second type of plant is the one most prized in decorative ponds. The water lily, with its large green pads and waxy, brilliant blossoms, is the main reason many people decide to take up water gardening. There are thousands of different water lilies in differing sizes, petal structures, and colors. They come in varieties suited for shallow or deep water and can be either hardy or tropical. But if you plant tropicals, be prepared to babysit them indoors in a wading pool throughout the winter. Our final plant category is called marginal, meaning plants that survive best in shallow water or bogs at the pond's edge. Popular marginals are bog iris, arrowhead, plantain lilies, and palms. Flexibility is the key in landscaping your pond edges. Be prepared to move plants around until they tell you where the moisture, light, and air movement is just right for them to thrive. Your plants can be ordered from national water garden catalogs, although many local nurseries on the High Plains now stock plenty of varieties of water plants during the spring and summer growing season. And my experience with pond tours and visits to other people's places has proven that you want to carry a few plastic bags and rubber bands, because most gardeners are generous people who want to send parts of their own gardens into new territories. My first trip to the Colorado Water Garden Society tour in Denver netted offers of free plants and cuttings that filled a styrofoam cooler. And I've in turn sent offspring of those plants to many water gardens in western Kansas. Next week, we'll talk about incorporating fish and other pond wildlife among your plants.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.